This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Happy Tuesday to you. I think, happy Tuesday, Chiefs fans. Yikes, that was something last night. Jacob Albrock-Tier, TJ Cleveland, Max Power. In with us producing, taking your calls if you got them at 869-1240. We will dig in to the Chiefs' loss in Jacksonville last night. They did everything but win the game. We'll have a whole lot on that and your opportunities to chime in either on the hotline, the video comments available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can reach out to us directly on X as well. Thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. We'll have that, of course. And we'll also have Wyatt Thompson joining us, the voice of the K-State Wildcats. Early, we're moving his weekly visits to Tuesdays, so we'll have that for you. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oktoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that will make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oktoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello, I currently have the split screen on. I've got the entire second half replaying on the 85-inch and the final drive replaying on my laptop because I got to figure out how this happened last night.
Well, there's no figuring it out. I mean, there's about a billion reasons. I'm telling you, the Chiefs did everything but win that game. Yep. You can look up and down a box score and see that they should have won the game. You can watch it with your own eyes, as we all did last night, and wonder how they didn't win that game, but they throw a pick six late. They miss several plays on a final drive. Chris Jones has some questions to answer. If you haven't seen his video on the final touchdown run from Trevor Lawrence, Harrison Butker is a problem right now. He has made a critical mistake in every game they've played, including last night with a kick out of bounds after a go-ahead touchdown. Absolutely inexcusable from him. And they let Trevor Lawrence off the hook. Trevor Lawrence fell down on his face about four times, I think, on that final drive. He literally fell down on the go-ahead touchdown. The Chiefs missed breaking up a pass that they might normally make. He had, three delay of game penalties? That was one of the weirder, stranger things. And as Rick points out, and is absolutely correct, 11 penalties in the game for the Chiefs to, I think, the Jaguars had four. Too many mistakes, 13. Obviously. Obviously too many mistakes.
They had that 13 penalties, actually, Rick. That's how bad it got. And, it really was. I mean, just on that final drive, you think about if you just don't have the, DPI there, that might not have happened.
They were break up the pass that was 2 inches. Yeah. But even that, if you don't kick the ball out of bounds,
yeah,
if you don't have holding on the ensuing kickoff the other way, you had three timeouts in 45 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, you outgained the Chiefs outgained Jacksonville by 150 yards, basically, and then gave 100 of them back on penalties. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, it's great. Like, as you said, like, that's the only thing that you can point at on a box score or the team stats or anything that didn't go the Chiefs' way is that they gave up 100 yards by way of the penalty.
I mean, they did everything but win the game. Apologies to all the bettors. Like, we had that game nailed. Like, we were all going to make a whole bunch of money last night, including if you were just betting the Chiefs. They should have won that game by two scores. Yep. And it just unraveled. So I definitely want to spend time overreacting to the game last night. And then I think we've got to spend some time perhaps underreacting too. But for now, we can overreact because that was ridiculous. Like, they were clearly the better team. It's especially frustrating because we are seeing the offense awaken. Like, the offense did whatever it wanted to for a lot of that game last night. And to see them just kind of fumble it away is tough because now you've got the Lions coming up. And bless, like, I just can't believe the amount of mistakes. And look, some of it was like, oh, okay, that's fluky. Like, Lawrence falling down and being able to get up, you're like, all right, fine. But a pick six, a kick out of bounds, the penalties, that's just like, what are we doing here? Like, that's insane.
One of the biggest takeaways I think we can take away from last night is that the Chiefs offense is not good at tackling after the pick six.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That was bad.
I thought Thornton was going to punch it out at the goal line, and he just kind of threw his hands at him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Thornton's built about like me. Yeah. So, you know, taking down.
Not a lot of great tacklers there.
Yeah. It was something like it took everything they had to lose that game last night. I mean, they had to lay it all out there to come up with that loss.
I mean, I can't wait to talk to Wyatt because I feel like I just watched the K-State game again.
I think it was more egregious even than the K-State game, because I'll give a little credit to the opposition.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were clearly a better team than Jacksonville last night. I love reading everything that's like, oh, Jacksonville's for real. They're there. Jacksonville's going to have like six losses before this season's over. Like, they didn't look that good.
That was their first, like, real win.
No, they beat the 49ers, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, they're I don't want to take – I shouldn't say that and take anything away from them, but, like, come on now. Trevor Lawrence looked like crap last night. He looks terrible. And then he gets away with a win in that one. He made two big throws. I will give him credit on that final drive. But, man, he looks bad. And they sit here, and we looked at it, and we're like, all right, the Chiefs got to stop the run. They did a pretty good job stopping Etienne. Lawrence ran around a little bit. And I will say, like, if Lawrence runs more often, he'll be a better quarterback. But the Chiefs did everything they wanted to do last night.
I don't even know. Is this the first? No, it's not the first time. Never mind. But watch it. Every time I watch Trevor Lawrence play, because I never watch the Jaguars, every time they play the Chiefs, I just get reminded. I'm like, this dude's a ginormous human. Like, he's like 6'5", 6'6".
I know. Like, if he runs more, he'll be a better quarterback. And we saw that last night. Like, he made that decision, and it did turn the game around. I was texting with some buddies. We were just like, God, how is he so bad? And I was like, he's got to run. And you know, they saw the same thing. And then that really did open it up for the Jacksonville offense. But eventually teams will, you know, key in on that and make him beat them through the air. But the Jaguars did not beat the Chiefs last night. The Chiefs beat the Chiefs last night. And that is not like a knock on Jacksonville. It is a knock on the Chiefs. That was ridiculous. They had no business losing that game. And they don't have the wiggle room to play that kind of game. The lack of discipline. Why is Andy Reid all of a sudden afraid to go for it on fourth downs? Like, what? Like, I don't know what that was. Like, that was just a total disaster. Up and down the board. It really was a bizarre game, and maybe we're all a little cranky because we know they should have won it. But now they play the Lions. That certainly doesn't make it better.
I think that's the first thing they think about is, I mean, yesterday that conversation we had with Josh is completely correct. It's just like, they can't go 0-2 in a week span. Like,
I mean, they can. That's the underreaction part of all of this. This is where I could really make Tommy angry. Tommy, if you're listening on the way in, because I would tell you it'll be fine, and he would get really mad at that. But the reality is, it'll be fine. The Chargers are ravaged by injury, and I just am not a believer that the Broncos are going to go out and win 14 games this year, 13, 12 games this year. So the division, even with a loss to the Lions, even at 2-4, their Chiefs are going to be in the mix for the division because they play Denver twice. And they're like, we're seeing some things if we're comparing this year's team to last year's that are okay, but good Lord, they cannot make that many mistakes in a game. We'll get to that digested a little bit, a little over and under reaction to the Chiefs' loss to the Jags. When we come back, though, we're going to switch gears. Wyatt Thompson joins us for a weekly visit. Kind of reminded me, I'm with you, TJ, that K-State game on Saturday. We'll have that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are joined by Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. That wasn't very kind of the Chiefs, Wyatt, to do their best K-State impression last night. Boy, you watch that and you're like, well, this is exactly what we saw on Saturday. Blowing the big lead, a pick six. Oh, man,
yeah, exactly. You know, I actually was the
deja vu.
I was the MC last night for the KAB awards dinner here in Manhattan at Hilton Garden Inn, and it was so interesting to kind of look out from time to time. Everybody's checking their phone or watching the game on their phone, and but you're right, it somewhat mirrored it. As a matter of fact, when Karen and I got in the car to come home, Kansas City was up 14-0, and I'm going, yes, finally something good's going to happen. Well, then I guess I brought everybody bad luck, and you saw how the game ended, too. That was one of the weirdest game-winning touchdown plays I've seen in my lifetime, I think. That was crazy.
Wyatt, let's get into Saturday. You know, obviously, as you said, K-State had the big lead. Baylor kind of mounted it up in that last, 15 minutes of the game, basically. Just kind of what went wrong from your perspective up in the box?
Well, I think to be honest with you, the it felt good to have that kind of lead, but I think they could have had even a bigger lead, and maybe at the end of the day, that catches up with you. I think a lot of people are going to look at, you know, the pick six, and I get that. A lot of people have talked about, you know, having it first and goal at the three and having to settle for a field goal late in the game. So I think this is just kind of part of what we have seen from this team. I think we've seen some good. We've seen so not so good. We've seen, you know, to be honest, pretty inconsistent play in a lot of ways. I always, you guys know me, I always try to look at the positives. Had you said to me going in, they're going to get 500 yards plus and score 34 points, I would have taken my chances with that, TJ, every time. And who wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you find a way to not win the game. And that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, it is frustrating because we're still trying to get a sense of what K-State could still do in this year. And when they don't have any wiggle room to lose games, especially that they shouldn't lose, especially, you know, Dylan Edwards was limited very clearly in that game. And they still were going to have enough to go on the road and beat Baylor. And it's not even a could have, it's a should have. And I definitely think that makes it worse.
But at the same time,
they should have. So if they can take that out of it, they're going to win a bunch of games down the stretch, probably. I guess I just don't know how you just continue to put aside the disappointment of these small things to continue to focus on the big thing.
Yeah, and you guys know this, as we've gone from Monday to Tuesday, Coach Klieman meets with the media on Monday, and I'll be honest with you, fellas, I'm sure some that will hear this will not agree, but I thought Coach Klieman did a really good job of yesterday saying, this is all on me. I'm the guy. I've got to get the ship righted here, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. But I think he truly feels that way. You know, it'd be easy to blame all the mistakes or blame this or that, or we're all beat up, which we are. Team has no luck, whatever it might be. But again, I've been around K-State football for 24 years, and they pride themselves on good quality, tough physical play and good special teams and, you know, be in the right spots defensively and tackle. And sometimes it's been there, but sometimes it hasn't. And I think that's what makes everybody want to scream or pull their hair out or whatever you want to say. Cause it's just been, I think Saturday's a perfect example. I think you can argue that the offensive line maybe played its best overall game. I think you can argue that Avery Johnson played maybe his best overall game. I think you can argue that Joe Jackson definitely played his best game. We've seen some guys continue to grow, and yet, you know, you make a mistake with the pick six, and Avery didn't make many, but he certainly made one there, and it really turned the game back in their favor, because if I'm being totally honest, being there in person, I always say this, it is different than watching it on television. And at 31-17, their fans were disinterested. They were hot. They were getting up under the concourse. They were, if K-State had kicked another field goal or scored again, they were out. I'm just telling you, they were. But when they got the big score, 80-ish yards in three plays and those two spectacular plays by Trigg, then you got game on. They started coming back, and next thing you know, game on.
Yeah, Michael Trigg's a stud. Speaking of Kleiman talking about yesterday, you know, you brought up Dylan Edwards. You know, we've talked about how big of a deal he is for this offense. And, you know, Kleiman kind of made comments yesterday about, like, yeah, he just wasn't completely, you know, a little banged up still, you know. And so is it still the same thing from week zero? You know, it feels like it's kind of ebb and flow right now. You know, what do you know about, you know, Dylan's situation?
Yeah, I think you go back to the week before, he was pretty healthy. And I guess I'm not smart enough to understand why in that particular game he was really good and had 166 yards and what have you. And then, you know, I don't know whether he maybe got dinged in practice or whatever, but you could tell from the get-go that he wasn't exactly right. And, you know, I guess the short answer is yes, it's that lingering issue with his foot. High ankle sprain, I guess, is what they're calling it. And those, as you know, are pretty slow healing, at least most of the time. And I think that's what you're dealing with here. And I think there's a lot of frustration with this team, but that particular subject is at the top of the list. But so is the fact that most of their playmaking guys have not played a single game together this year. And that frustrates them too. And I get it.
So Avery is running more, Wyatt, and I think it's probably by design. It has unlocked him a lot. He looks a whole lot better outside of the one, you know, the one mistake there late in the game. How are you sensing the psyche of he and that offense are feeling right now as they have this massive hole as a Big 12 championship seems unlikely? I know a lot of people worry about, well, what's going to happen with Avery if this season doesn't go well? He's going to be this hot commodity. Is he loving life still in Manhattan?
You know, I'm not even going to hesitate in answering that. I think the answer is yes. That isn't to say that there will not be interest from many, many, many programs. Probably we'll have to fight that a little bit. I guess I don't know that for a certainty, but I'm just being as honest as I can be, being around him as much as I am. And it isn't daily, but it's a lot. I really think he is enjoying his experience. I think he knows he's getting better. It is frustrating with this team being 2-4 when you could easily argue they should be at least 4-2, if not 5-1, but you're not. And how do you get it turned? And I think he, like Kleiman, is into, okay, let's do what we have to do to get things turned around here. But they also know what lies ahead, and it's not easy. You got a 4-1 TCU team coming in here, and then a bye week, and then you've got Kansas there. You've got Texas Tech at home. I mean, you can't shy away from the fact that that's a pretty rugged stretch, you know. We still have to go to Utah to play. It's just kind of what it is. But you got to keep grinding. And I think if they can get a little bit more healthy and a little more consistent, at least it gives them a shot of you know, to play for something late in the year. Some are going to be disappointed if that's a lower tier bowl. But you got to, you know, they're probably not in the picture now in terms of the league championship. That's pretty obvious. So you got to try to get to the next best thing. At least that's the way I see it. And I think it's a good group of guys. I think they are frustrated and mad and whatever you want to say. But I don't think their dauber is so down that they can't come back and fight. I think you will see them put up a good fight. They have been the better team against TCU recently. Last time they were here in Manhattan, K-State won 41-3. K-State rushed for over 300 yards in that game. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that that's going to be the way it plays out Saturday. But I do think K-State has a good chance to win the game if they play.
That'd be a good idea. Let's call Will Howard and DJ Giddens to come back and play on Saturday too, and roll absolutely. Those guys out there. So yeah. Staying on that track, you know, TCU, they've obviously got Josh Hoover, who's, you know, one of the more experienced quarterbacks in the conference now. The 2:30 kickoff on national television, it'll be a big spot. And, you know, at halftime last week, it was like, man, they're going to beat Baylor and they're going to have a chance to knock off TCU. So, like, what's the vibes going into this week now that, you know, you lost that Baylor game?
Well, I think, again, everybody is excited to have Fox here and to play a 2:30 game. We've, you know, last year we played so many night games.
Don't get me started.
And this is homecoming week here, as you guys probably are aware. And I think, you know, the 2:30 window is probably the best for most tailgaters, wouldn't you say?
It's the best.
And,
I think so.
So I'm hopeful that we have a terrific crowd, and I believe that we will. I think it's a pretty good matchup, and you mentioned Hoover. He's been really good. I mean, you go back to some of his numbers a year ago. He threw for almost 4,000 yards, TJ, and 27 touchdowns, 11 picks. And how about this? 24 career games, he's thrown 57 touchdowns. He had four last week. So he has some weapons around him. They're not dominant necessarily in any way, but the loss was a game where they led 17-0 at Arizona State. So it tells you they're dangerous when they're playing at their optimum level.
It's no surprise, as we talk about Hoover, that they're one of the best pass offenses in the country. Top 15, yeah. I believe. They don't defend the pass very well, though, Wyatt, I assume.
And they haven't run it well.
Yeah, we're kind of in a shootout city mode again here, probably, for this one. I don't know if it'll be quite to the level of Baylor, but TCU's probably not getting enough credit either. They've got good wins this year. Like their losses to Arizona State, like what they've done and what they've put together is impressive. I'm not sure how much better or worse TCU is than Baylor, but this is going to be tough.
Yeah, I think they're different, but there are similarities. Both are more prevalent pass teams than run teams. And yet they do have capabilities. This is a team that's been using as many as five running backs, partly because of injury. I think they're best when the Barnes kid, a transfer, is the lead guy. But they have others. One thing in this league that you see a lot of is good quality receiving tight ends. They have two of those guys. Their receiving core is pretty good. They did have an injury with their left tackle last week. It's a little bit up in the air as to whether, you know, he will be available to go this weekend. So the other thing I would mention is that they have a decent secondary, two pretty quality linebackers, and one of those linebackers is Chidi Obiezor's older brother, Namdi, and you'll want to watch him. he is a very, very fine football player, played at Northern Iowa. And then at TCU, and he's really active, really good player. With him and Elarm Zor, that their linebacking has been good.
Yeah, why the weird part about this, going back to the Chiefs analogy here, the Chiefs basically did everything we said. They did everything except win the game. K-State played their best game, kind of by far on offense, and they found a way to lose that game. You know. What do you do differently? Do you do anything differently going into this game? I feel like if you replay the Baylor game, you probably win that game 9 times out of 10 from the second half on.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, as you try to get healthier, get better, be more consistent, I think what my biggest thing is let's go back to the offensive line as an example. This is getting a little bit of run in the media now with Devin Bass and what he's done. He started for the first time last week playing right guard. The week before, he played right and left guard. He has helped this football team. He's a big guy. He's bided his time. Coach talked in the presser yesterday about, you know, he could have, like a lot of them, been mad after not seeing the field for a couple of years and just gotten out of here, but he didn't do that. And talking to him yesterday, he's really excited, playing well. And I think Sam's probably the best, most consistent lineman K-State's got. You could argue Pastore probably too. But I'm excited that Taylor Portier is playing a little bit better now too. He had a little time frame there where he wasn't playing as well, and some of that was health. My point is you saw K-State run the ball decently well, and then you saw with Avery with the threat to run, and he is doing that more. That they're passing it better. So I think offensively, even though they're not where they want to be, Bradley's getting closer to being back. You hope maybe Dylan could be better this week. Then all of a sudden, you're just a different looking team. But that's a lot of ifs. Some of that has to happen, right? Some of it has to happen.
It has to happen. They have to win. Wyatt, it's the 2:30 kick. You guys will have it on the K-State Network. Anything special on the broadcast this week?
Yeah, we'll get, you know what? Kind of looking forward to this because of the homecoming angle. But one of the guys that I'm going to talk to is Uso Seumalo for pregame. And we've had Uso on before, but I think he's such a unique story. He's a Hawaiian kid, Samoan kid that played high school football there. Mom didn't want him to play, didn't want him to get hurt. He did more work on there. You ready for this? Cocoa Farm?
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's a crazy story. Great kid, though. And now his mom is okay with him playing. Matter of fact, she's been here a couple of times. I saw her on the road once. He's a really cool story. And that's in part what I love about the job, getting to know those kids a little bit better. So we'll feature that, and we'll have the coordinators on. And I'm excited to see. It's always good to be back home. And K-State played well when they were here, 2 weeks ago. Let's hope they can continue with that. They need something good to happen and quickly, frankly.
They do, and you'll hear it right here on the Wildcat Sports Network, KFH, home of Wildcat Athletics.
Yeah,
Wyatt, we appreciate it. I'm ready to see a little more offense. I think we're going to get it on Saturday.
No question about it. Hey, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. It'll be a good one, TJ. I'm not sure how much I'm not sure how much better I think Baylor is than TCU, to be quite honest with you. Now, the game's in Manhattan. So that will help, but if you like offense, I think you're going to get it.
Ooh, I know. I mean, we were talking about TCU whenever we talked with Wyatt a couple of weeks ago, that they're kind of floating towards the top. You know, they're going to be a team that could be in this thing down the stretch of this Big 12 race. And they are good. Josh Hoover's really good. They were on national television in week one, beating the brakes off of Bill Belichick, which doesn't mean much anymore, but still that shows you how good that they can be. So yeah, it's going to be an awesome game. And like Wyatt said, I mean, I'm with him is that, you take that Baylor game. If you play the same way that you played in the Baylor game on offense, you should win most of these games down the stretch of your schedule.
Right. Well, let's pour one out for our betting brethren, TJ. That was a very, very bad beat last night. That should have been one of the more easy covers we've had all year. We had the game pegged exactly right. Jacksonville's going to struggle to stop the Chiefs' passing game. They did. The Chiefs moved the ball at will and snatched victory from the jaws, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, it's one of the more bizarre outcomes I can remember in a league that is made a living on being bizarre. Curtis Siebold put this out, radio personality in Kansas City last night. Before that game, TJ, teams that averaged 7.5 yards a play and outgained their opponents by 150 yards had won 33 straight games, 67 of the last 69 games in the NFL. It is hard to fathom how easily the Chiefs should have won that game. I mean, they had to lay it all out there to come up with that loss, and they came up with that loss. You can't, what do you even point to? Point to the pick six. You can point to the penalties. You can point to the lack of aggression on fourth down. You can point to the lack of effort on defense on that final drive. You can point, there's just a billion things. And still, they should have won. I can't stop thinking about how bad Harrison Butker's been this year and how horrible that kickoff was and his missed kicks. He's playing terrible right now. How do you kick the ball out of bounds when you know they have time against them on the other side and they have to have a touchdown? And then on the other side, how do you have a hold? How do you have a hold on a kick return when time is against you and you have to get into field goal range? It was comical. And I've seen people say it, like, I don't even know how you get mad at that. It was such a bizarre and funny loss. And it kind of was. It's just crazy.
I feel like I'm losing my mind because we talked about the K-State loss. They found a way, like, 9 times out of 10, they should win that game. KU Cincinnati, like, 9 times out of 10, they should have won that game. Chiefs Jaguars, 9 times out of 10, the Chiefs should have won that game. And it's like, what do you want to say?
10 times out of 10, the Chiefs should win that game.
9.9. You can round, do whatever you want. Like, it's like the definition of insanity. I feel like when we sit here and talk on this show, where it's like, well, you can point at the pick six. Well, but then, I mean, still, they took a lead, and then they just, the defense let them stroll right down the field, and like 15 different things that, like, oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one.
It is bizarre, the similarities. I will say, though, of those three outcomes that you're referencing, this Chiefs loss was by far the worst of the three. By far the worst of the three. Cincinnati did a lot in their win against KU to go get it. Baylor did a lot in their win against K-State to go get it. Jacksonville didn't do all that much other than the pick six to go get it. The Chiefs let them have it.
I'll revisit my analogy here. I do feel like the Cincinnati KU one, it was like KU basically messed up one time on that final drive and they lost that game. It's like K-State, Baylor just kind of strolled down the field and did whatever they wanted, but Baylor was favored to win that game anyways. They just needed to just end the game a little sooner. This game, it was. I mean, there was probably like 15 different things that we can point to say, like, oh, well, they shouldn't have done that. Well, they shouldn't have done that either. They shouldn't have done that either. And that I do agree. This is probably the worst one of those three. So
it's especially frustrating because we are seeing the Chiefs are the Chiefs and the Ravens right now, TJ, are combined 2-8. Or no, sorry, 3-7. They're combined 3-7 while the Colts and Jaguars are 8-2. Right now in the NFL, it's so strange because we don't know when Lamar come back, right? If Lamar Jackson's back in the next couple of weeks, I feel like the Ravens are going to make the playoffs. They have one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. The Chiefs are fine, and this is what's so exceptional about that loss last night is. They should have had it. Like we spent the entire day yesterday here and on TV. Like AFC West title is right there. Like they would be the favorite now. And then they do that. And you're like, God, like where does that lack of like the Chris Jones play at the end? Like, how is that even
possible? That's so weird. I've watched that like 10 times.
Play was dead. And I haven't seen if he's talked about it. Like he must have thought when Lawrence fell down, he had to have thought the play was over. It's the only thing I could think of. And if you haven't seen the video, just search Chris Jones and watch him stand around. And Bolton kind of did the same. They must have thought the play was dead. They had to have. And I'm not going to give him a hall pass for that. But I will also say, like, if you thought the play was over and you go belly flop the quarterback, you're going to get a penalty called. So the only answer I will accept, even if it's wrong, even if he was wrong, is that he thought the play was dead. At least that would make you think, okay, well, it was wrong. It was a mistake, but at least it wasn't just like a lack of effort for some reason, which would make absolutely no sense. The passing
game, I don't know.
Man, like and we'll get to the optimistic side of this in the next hour, but I think there are a lot of things that we're seeing in the last 2 weeks that, to me, make things seem a whole lot better than they were 3 weeks ago, right? Like, when we were coming out of the – which game was it? When we were coming out of the Eagles game, and even to some degree the Giants win, it was like, oh, man, like they just don't look good offensively. Well, now in the last 2 weeks, they've looked fantastic offensively. And so that's a good thing, right? Like, we like that. But boy, the defense did not look good yesterday. And the defense looked closer. If there's an overall, like if there's a bigger takeaway for me from this game than anything, it's that the last, you know, six-ish quarters of football before Lamar Jackson got hurt and then that entire game against Jacksonville, the defense looks a little susceptible right now. And I don't know that we're seeing enough out of the young players on that defense, the rookies, to think like that's going to get a whole lot better. I'm not sure. And I only say that because that's kind of what I was afraid of all year, right? Like we were a little afraid the defense wasn't going to be as good. And my hope was that the offense is so much better that you get, you know, it outweighs that. And it was last night. That was exactly what happened. They made the mistakes, obviously, and didn't get the win. But I am concerned that this is going to be a middle of the pack at best defense before this year's over. I just don't know that they're not going to be as good as they were the last couple of years. And that could be a problem.
It's weird because, like, the defense really hadn't been that bad until, like, I mean, really this week, like, even in the first two losses of the year, they didn't play that bad. I think that there was a lot of questions in the preseason that we talked about of, you know, the secondary of, you know, you lose a Justin Reed. It's going to be depleted in your depth because of, you know, Deion Bush getting hurt in the preseason as well. And what's the new guy? Joshua Williams going to have to step up and start for the first time basically ever. You think about Noel Williams, the rookie, stepping up. And they've been good. Like, I mean, this, by the stats of it, their secondary was really good. And then last night, I mean, they got, like, just kind of torn to shreds in the second half by Trevor Lawrence. So I don't know if that's just the lack of experience catching up, but it doesn't make any sense of why. Why now? Why not whenever you played Lamar Jackson? Why not whenever you played Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts? Like, it's just weird. I don't really understand what happened last night.
Well, I just don't know that they're – I think teams are going to figure out how to attack them. And they'll continue to do it. Like, Trevor Lawrence, who do they play? Jared Goff's not going to run around on them, so that'll be a little bit different of a challenge to stop them. But at the same time, the Lions are – probably the best offense in football. So they don't, you're going to have to just stop what it is that they do. There's not going to be any need to be cute for the Lions. Like, they'll just attack you the way that they attack you and get ready. You know, you got to get ready to try and stop that and shoot them out. The good news for the Chiefs is that game's at home. The over under on that's only 50.5. That's an over.
Somebody's going to score 30 in that game.
Well, right, and they both might score 30. I don't know. Like, Jacksonville, even if you take the 7 away from Jacksonville last night, right, from the pick 6, Trevor Lawrence should, like, he fumbled as close to the goal line as you can fumble. Like, that, so you can't say the offense, well, you got to take 7 away because 7 of it came on a pick 6. They should have had 7 more on that play. Like, true. Jacksonville did everything that they could to give the Chiefs that game. Did Trevor Lawrence have 3 delay of game penalties? Was it 3 or just 2?
I think so. I don't know.
I think it was 3. They had those issues. They fumbled on the goal line. That was
through a pick, through another pick that got called back.
That was nonsensical last night. I mean, that was one of the stranger games. The Chiefs are 2 touchdowns better than Jacksonville. I mean, I believe that 100%. So, again, while it's insanely frustrating, again, while I'm devastated for all the bettors out there, is it that big a deal? That's what we'll spend the next hour talking about. I honestly don't think it is. I think it's nauseating because it shouldn't have happened. But I also think as we watch it, and maybe people don't agree with this, there's a lot there where I'm like, this team's going to be fine. And they're going to be where they want to be when the playoffs start. And then you just see where the chips fall. Speaking of betting, I sent you this, TJ, last night. Thanks to Travis Kelce. I had a first touchdown bet on Kelce. And it's the ESPN app does on Monday Night Football. They'll return half of your first touchdown bet if you lose, if you don't hit it. And so I don't ever like I bet I basically maxed bet, which I never do, a Travis Kelce first touchdown. And you want to talk about an emotional roller coaster? He gets that. And then I see that flag and I'm like, oh, no way. And then it goes through. That was a ride. That was a journey. That was a betting experience right there. To think you hit that on a unit play you never play, only to see that flag and the Chiefs pleading with the officials.
1 yard.
You get one step, you get 1 yard. And I'm like, don't do this to me. Don't do it. Could you, like, if that would have happened and, because I would have hit, I would have made so much money last night. I hit every other part of everything I put together except for the Chiefs cover. And I know that everybody out there, like, what sucks if you enjoy betting as much as we do is, like, I had that pegged perfectly. The Chiefs should have crushed them. Like, that line was incorrect. The Chiefs are way better than the Jaguars. It was all the right matchups. They should have covered. All right, so why it's not that big a deal. I don't even know if TJ agrees with me on that, but why it's not that big a deal. I'll make my case in the next hour. You can chime in, Chiefs fans, if you're just waking up, you're angry. We're your place to sound off this morning. 869-1240. You can leave us your comments on the video streams. It's All Brock in Cleveland. Don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, Chiefs fans. Welcome back in to Sports Daily here. Jake Ballbrock, TJ Cleveland with you on this Tuesday morning after a Monday night football game that left us all scratching our heads. We spent the last hour venting. We'll still do that in this hour about how annoying that loss was last night. So we'll also take you through. I'll tell you why I don't think in the grand scheme it's the end of the world. And we'll see if you agree. You can leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube X. You can call us 869-1240. Max Powers got that ready for you to rock and roll. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served on a split top bun, chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. We asked a question, TJ. What in the world happened to Chris Jones on that last play? You might have an answer. What'd you find?
I do. Chris Jones, we have the quotes in our email here from what they said in the post-game press conference. Somebody asked him what he saw during Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence's game-winning touchdown. He said, "I thought multiple times that we had him," which is what you said, Jacob. "We've just got to finish. We've just got to finish. Multiple guys there that just have to finish the play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. Yeah, I put it on us as a defense. We've got to finish. We've got to bring him down on that."
So I thought we had him. I need to follow up with him. Like, you thought he was down?
I don't know if somebody else
was going to tackle him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if you just thought somebody else was going to tackle him, that's not acceptable. Yeah. If you thought he was down, that's a totally different story. Not correct, but different, I think, and more acceptable.
That was an interesting post game. Did you see the Patrick Mahomes comments that he said, we've already lost too many games?
They have. They have already lost too many games. It's a team that lost one for real game last year. They've lost three this year, could very easily be four. Look, that was excruciating last night. So many weird parts of that, so many places that cannot continue to do those things. The Chiefs have had a penalty problem all year. Maybe this is just a team that's going to have penalty problems. The Chiefs had kicking issues all year. Maybe this is just a team that has going to have kicking issues, special teams issues. You know, the defense, I do think, was closer to the defense that we saw is going to be closer to what the defense ultimately is. I think they'll have games where they are good, and I think they'll have games where they'll give up a lot of points. But to me, the biggest reason why I'm kind of like, I wake up and I'm like, you know what? It's not that big a deal. The Chargers are the decimated right now with injury. They're down like three or four offensive linemen. They're down two top running backs for a team that wants to run the ball. I hope Justin Herbert makes it through this season healthy. But they're not going to be, I'll be stunned if they're able to overcome all these injuries. I do not watch the Broncos, and I know they just beat the Eagles. I get it. But to me, that's a team the Chiefs can beat twice. So, like, and the biggest thing for me is the number one most glaring, insanely bad reason they did not three-peat as Super Bowl champions was because of the offensive line. And the offensive line looks pretty good. The offensive line looks good. Kingsley Suamataia looks good at left guard. Like, their line looks good. And as their line looks good, and as they get Rashee Rice back to add into an offense that, quite frankly, doesn't even need him right now, they are going to be the offensive juggernaut, at least that I thought they would be coming into this year. You know, the whole time it was like, if they fix offensive line, they are going to be near impossible to stop. Maybe that gives, you know, Andy Reid more confidence to go for it on those fourth downs that he didn't go for yesterday, that we all kind of were like, that's interesting. I don't know why that, I don't, maybe it was because they were on the road. I'm not real sure why he did that. They're going to be very difficult to stop. They're difficult to stop right now, the last two games, with Worthy back, with the line kind of finding its groove. I mean, you're talking about an offense, TJ, that's going to have Travis Kelce as maybe the third option in the pass game, maybe the fourth. Tyquan Thornton is a thing, and he's not going anywhere. Like, how if the line can block it up and you split Kelce out wide, and let's say Breshard Smith is in the game, how is a defense, if you can't get a ton of pressure on the quarterback, are you going to stop Mahomes when he has five options and is a quarterback that can get through all five reads? It's not like it's going to be, if their line holds up, they're going to score 25, 26 points a game.
Yeah. I think that the biggest takeaway, I don't think that it's the fact of, you know, that this is going to be a lingering thing. Like I said, like, I think it's the same thing as what we saw in the K-State. I mean, the offense looked good. Like, the offense is good. And like you said, everything that you're saying is correct. The offensive line is better than it was last year. The running back room is better than it was last year. Kareem Hunt looked great last night. He might be the RB1, which is a whole other conversation.
He looked great on one run.
I'll argue that forever. I think he's still better than Pacheco back there, honestly, which that's a whole other thing. We don't have time for that argument.
But we got an hour to underreact.
But they're good. Like, the wide receivers are good. The line is good. Patrick Mahomes is playing probably the best that we've seen since 2022, I'd imagine. Like, they're going to be good. It's the fact. I mean, I don't even know if you want to. I think that you're correct. I think that they still have an ample chance to win the AFC West. I think it's the fact of, where do you want to be whenever it gets to playoff time? You know, I mean, you got
two, and those are two different conversations.
Yeah, I know. I think that's what I'm saying. And I think the AFC West is fine. Like, the AFC West is not as good as I think we thought it was going to be. And that's partly due to injury on the Chargers back.
Yep.
But like, I think they could still win that and do that. But I think, do you want to be play in a wild card game? What do you want to do here?
That's where we have two different things happening, I think. I think it's not as damning in the regular season as we thought it was going to be if they are to come out of this stretch 2-4. And that they're favorites against the Lions, by the way. So there's that part of it. I think they're fine to get there. Like, when this all started, it was like, man, 2-4 is going to be tough to overcome with the schedule they still have to play. So I get it. I get it. But the playoffs are different. That's where we become far more concerned about penalties, about special teams blunders. A big part of the Chiefs' run to these Super Bowls is that they are nails in the kicking game. But how many big kicks has Butker made on the way to these Super Bowls?
One day, let's just dedicate 2 hours to Harrison Butker.
Think about big games, though, like, he's been biggest parts of their wins. So if he's not going to be there this year, that shrinks your margin for error big time. Like, he has been critical to their success over these years. Like, if he doesn't have it this year, that's a big problem. It's a big problem. The holds on returns, like, they don't have the defense that's going to let them do that. I that's the part of it. Like, when I think about the regular season, I do think everything is going to be fine. When I think about the postseason, though, that's where it gets really troubling. You brought up the run game, and Jim points out that Pat's the leading rusher. He's making fun of the run game. And if you took away TJ, the 33-yard run for Kareem Hunt last night, He has 6 carries for 16 yards. And Pacheco, if you take away his 16-yard run, has 6 carries for 20 yards. So, like, they may be able to break some off now and then, but that's not how the run game helps them.
I mean, they're not going to win games because of it, but I'm saying it's better than it was last year.
But I don't think it's better than it was last year. I think
they just decided to run the ball more.
They had to. It's flawed. Which is good. It's very flawed. The on one hand, the good news is they don't have to run the ball. They could literally not run the ball and they would be just fine this year. Not in the postseason though. Not if the defense isn't going to be very good. And that's where, like, if they're going to be a penalty ridden team, if they're going to be a defensive team that can't, you know, that can't hold opponents under 20 or whatever they've been so good at the last 2 years, that's where you really think about that run game and helping your defense out that way, controlling the clock. Now, they may be able to figure out a way to do that through the pass game, and I think that that's possible. But man, like, you think about a cold weather game for the Chiefs in January, and they can't run the ball at all, and they can't play defense very well. Like, that's where I think that's where we could see the trouble really bite them in the butt. They're going to be fine in the regular season. They're going to score a billion points the rest of the way if that line is as good as it's looked the last 2 weeks. But that's a different thing than when you get to the postseason.
Yeah, I think that that's a two-part thing. I think that there's what you're talking about here, and I agree. I think that there's a reason the Chiefs have gone to 3 straight Super Bowls is the fact of, oh, here, I got the Chiefs game on. Harrison Butker just kicked it out of bounds. I had to go back and watch that, make sure I wasn't crazy. We're out of time. We'll talk about this more.
But we're going to continue. We've got some comments we're going to get to. You can chime in, Chiefs fans. We're trying to take this and look big picture. Little picture, that was as bad a loss as you could possibly imagine. Big picture, though, how bad is it really? That's what we're trying to dive through this hour. 869-1240 if you want to call. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. You can also chime in Facebook, YouTube, X. Find it however you find us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, if you want to win some iced tea right now, way to brighten your day. If you're angry at the Chiefs, you can text to win right now. The keyword tea to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea to HTO in East or West Wichita or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That's tea to the short code 20357. More than 25 flavors to choose from. Good luck, everybody. We got a lot to sort through here. So maybe the Chiefs were hung over from staying up too late listening to the new Taylor Swift album. I don't know. Maybe they were all too focused on giving the appropriate amount of grief to Travis Kelce for a certain song on there. I can't figure out how everybody, like, collectively made the kinds of mistakes that they made collectively. It's odd. It was one of the stranger games I've ever seen. Chris Jones not even giving any effort on a play. Patrick Mahomes with a pick six in a game where he seemed like he could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. The holds on returns, the kick out of bounds, like all of it. Collectively, the penalties was just bleh. How does everybody come in and make those kinds of mistakes and lose a game that they should have won by double digits? I don't know how that happens.
I don't know.
I think that it's not something you count on from a team that's found as much success as they've found. I think that they are plenty talented to do whatever it is that they want to do this year. We'll get to some comments here. Jim on Facebook, and this is, I think, in reference to my point that I think they'll beat the Broncos twice and the AFC West will be fine. He said, didn't the Broncos beat them by 38 last year and they only lost by a block chip shot last year? One loss next week and you're tied with the Raiders. Yes, they did have the block field goal in the game against the Broncos. The 38-point loss was in the final game of the season. The Chiefs didn't play anybody. They took the week off because they were headed into the postseason and had things secured. But yeah, look, I know that this is going to come back to bite me on the Broncos. I think that they're good and I think they're dangerous. And I absolutely think they could win the AFC West, but I think the Chiefs are better. That's it. That's it. I mean, that's what it is for me. I think the Chiefs are better than the Broncos. So the optimistic take is not a hard one to find today for the regular season. Not so much either because of like what the Chiefs are doing, but because of what's happening around them. Here's the other really crap part about last night. The Bills lost, right? Like the Chiefs could have been one game behind the Bills, essentially. And for a one seed, because we all think the Bills are going to be the team to beat for a one seed because their division's not that great. Man, they'd have been right there. Now, I don't know. That may be out the window now. I don't know that I think the Bills are going to lose, three games, four games. So that may be back off the table. But the AFC West is not off the table at all. It's very much on the table.
I think the bigger conversation, I don't think they're going to get the one seed. The bigger conversation is the fact of where do you want to be seeded throughout the playoffs? Like, you know, you don't want to be in the sixth seed or something heading in or anything like that. Like, that's the question that I'm kind of more worried about than the AFC West. I'd rather
really, I don't get, care.
I'd rather get a better chance to have a home game in the conference championship game. I'd rather be a two or three. And that way, like, if the Bills lose, then you're hosting again. Like, I'd rather fight for that right, you know, and it may not happen, but at least you can get that divisional game at home. Like, that's what I would be playing for right now. Like, AFC West, I think they'll be fine. I think they can do that. You know, right now there's three teams with four wins in the AFC. So it's, who's going to fall down? When is it going to level out and where are the Chiefs going to land?
I think by the time this is all said and done, it really depends on the Lions this week. The Chiefs are either going to have probably five or six losses in this regular season. So I don't, you know, they're going to need to beat Denver twice if they're going to win the AFC West, because Denver, you have to think about, like, if the Chiefs are going to have five or six, and I do think the Chiefs are going to have five or six, Denver's 3-2. That means two of those, you know, you need two of those losses to get them also to that area. You've got to beat them. But the reality is, and I'm just saying the AFC West is still on the table, I don't really care. I just need, like, the Chiefs just need to get there, where they play, who they play. Like, when we get to that end of the season part, you've got to beat them all anyway. So, you know, like, they've shown us they can go on the road and win in the playoffs. So it doesn't, they just have to get to the postseason. To me, is the part that they're not getting a bye. They're not going to do any of that, I don't think. So it's like, okay, well, can they just get to the postseason? And I think the answer to that is very clearly yes. It will be tough. Like, look, and I'm not trying to downplay. If they don't beat Detroit and they go 2-4, how many losses can you have? Because 7 is fringy, right? 10-7 is real fringy. 11-6 is usually safe. So then it's like, can you go through the rest of the season with the schedule that you play, only losing two more games? You've got a game at Buffalo. You've got the two games against Denver. You've got a game at Dallas. Indianapolis looks good now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's reason to sweat.
Well, it's annoying because last night should have eliminated a lot of that. You're also, you're eliminating any wiggle room that you might have. The Chiefs hopefully will get healthy for the first time in 2 weeks. What are the chances in the NFL they stay healthy? Probably low, right? Very low. They're a left tackle injury away from disaster here. And it doesn't even have to be a serious one now. It could be missed two games and disaster. They're taking away the wiggle room. The to win the Lions game is far more to me than it has been in any game that they've played this year. If they can, because if they lose it, there's almost no more margin for error. If they win it, they'll have a little cushion back in a little bit. So as Jason on YouTube says, that he went to bed in such a bad mood, thanks for the pep talk. The team's not good enough to overcome mistakes like in the year past, at least until I'm not intending to pep talk anybody. That's not the intent. I'm concerned about penalties. I'm concerned about special teams eliminating the margin that the offense could build them to make up for a defense that's not going to be as good. Like, so for me, when I think about the Chiefs, and this is what I thought coming into the year, the defense is not going to be as good, but the offense will be way better and it will make up for it. And I do think that that is the case. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think this will be one of, if not the best offenses in football. And I think the defense will take a step back. It's a question of whether the offense can, you know, whether the gain in offense overcomes the loss in defense. But it'll be close, I think. What it's not going to do is make up for penalties. And it's not going to make up for special teams mistakes. We didn't bake that in. Right, we didn't bake that into projections this year for the Chiefs, and it's something. It's not just a one game thing, right? They've been far too penalized all year long. They have made special teams blunders in every game that they've played. And in some cases, it's cost them games. Cost them a game last night. And you could consider that it cost them the Eagles game. Mahomes has thrown two costly interceptions. One of them was his fault last night. One was probably Travis Kelce's fault, although I contend that wasn't a great pass on that Kelce pick in that game. So I just like yes, I think the offense will make up for the defensive deficiencies that they'll see this year ultimately. I'm not sure anything makes up if you're going to continue to make the silly mistakes that they've been making. That is going to be that'll be the tougher part to overcome. So do you think they can get through that or not? I guess because the question, can they eliminate some of those things? We're now, you know, what are we, 5 games into this thing? And it's continued to be a problem. It wasn't really a problem, I guess, in the Ravens game as much, but it's been a problem in every other game.
That's what the other part of this, I said earlier in the show that it's a two-part equation here, is that right now the first part that you can be a little sweaty about is the fact of where are they going to land in this playoff picture, because you don't want to play, I don't know who it's going to be, the Colts, so whoever's going to be a three or whoever, I don't know what the team you want to name out there, the Chargers, if they get healthy.
It'll probably be the Colts.
Something like that. Some team that had a really good regular season. You don't want to have to play them in the first round. Like, that's the whole point of what you work for towards this postseason. And then when you get in it, like you were saying earlier as well, Jacob, is that the fact of the Chiefs in the playoffs, like the reason that they win so many of those games is because they just don't make mistakes. Like, the other teams always just unravel and the Chiefs just stay steady, and that's what they do so well. They don't lose games. They let you lose the game. And the Chiefs don't really win games that often either in recent years, but they just don't lose games. And they lost the game last night, and I think that is why you could sweat a little bit thinking about if this is going to be a thing, you know, like, we get down to the nitty-gritty of this, that the Chiefs don't do that. So I don't know how that's going to play out whenever you get to that point of the season.
So I'm with you. It was the portion of the season where they lost like 3 out of 5 or whatever it was. And it seemed like everything was falling out, and I'm like, it's going to be fine. Like, they're going to be just fine with this defense and Mahomes and Kelce and Reed in the postseason. Like, don't bet against the Chiefs. And it almost, like, I get that could have sounded annoying, but I believed it 100%. This isn't that case. Like, I'm not sitting here saying everything's going to be fine. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Don't worry about it. There's a lot to be worried about now. Like, it's not their defense, I'm afraid, is not going to be very good, TJ. Like, it's not even going to be that it's not elite anymore. I think there's a chance that it's not good. Like, it's below average. And that is a problem.
I feel like you've completely changed your, like, you came in saying that, like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine in the regular season. No, it's going to be fine in the regular season. I'm talking about to win a Super Bowl now.
I don't know. I don't think I agree. I think that I feel more confident now than I did during the span where they were only beating teams by fluky things that happened last year. Like, I think that
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. And here's why. Because what they faced last year that was staring at us in the face was unsolvable. Their offensive line. There was no way for them to fix that. And we watched them overcome it each and every week. But last year, the problem for this team it was the most obvious, unsolvable problem that this version of the Chiefs has ever faced. And it's that they were not going to be a good pass blocking team. And there was nothing that they could do about it. Their best option was to take their all pro guard and move him over out of position and then make themselves work. Like, it wasn't solvable. They weren't going to be able to fix that. And we knew it all season long. And yeah, they kept getting fluky wins, but it was the elephant in the room the whole time. Like, man, are they going to be able to? So this year, that is not the problem. And it's really whether you think what faces them is, like, the challenges that face them, are they solvable challenges? I think that they are for the regular season. But the question for me, like, the biggest takeaway and the biggest point of concern yesterday, even though I'm the most annoyed by the special teams mistakes, and the pick six was a really poorly timed pick six, the biggest overall thing to worry about to me is the defense. and the fact that how much better is this defense going to be at the end of the year? Like, what are you seeing that makes you think, oh, that'll be a better unit by the end of it? Because that, to me, is the biggest reason why the playoffs are going to be a problem.
I mean, the argument to make, though, like, I like that's the thing that I came into the year most worried about is what the defense would look like. And I feel like they've proved us wrong, though. And so that's what it, that's what's confusing about this. Like, I have to look at the stats about where they
have
stack
they proved
up.
Us wrong. Because before Lamar Jackson went out, the Ravens kind of did what they wanted to. They looked good against the Giants. I didn't think they looked very good against the Chargers. And they looked okay against the Eagles, but the Eagles have been offensively challenged all year anyway. So how good of an offense are the Eagles right now? Not great. So the two teams that they've played, we'll call it three, right? We'll call it the three teams that they've played that we would, because the Chargers at the time were a great, now they've got all the injuries, but they didn't in that opener. That offense scored 27 on them. The Ravens scored 20. What did they have before Lamar Jackson went down? And Lamar Jackson had the mistakes. That Ravens, they were moving the ball all over the Chiefs. And Jacksonville obviously moved the ball all over the Chiefs last night. So they've the competent offenses that they've played have found a lot of success. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, yeah, they held the Giants to 9 points. What's going to happen when they play the Lions and the Cowboys and the Bills and the Colts right now, the Commanders? Like, they're going to play some offenses that are going to give them hell. And in the regular season, yeah, they could probably get into some shootout cities and be fine, just like they would have been last night, should have been last night. But when it gets to the postseason, the weather turns bad. What if you walk into a game and you've got 20-mile-per-hour winds? That's where I think they're going to have a hard time. And that's where, and I don't know, like, can the defense get better? Like, what, you know, can these young guys step up? I suppose that they can. And I don't want to not have any faith in Steve Spagnuolo. That would be a stupid thing to do. So it's just, to me, it's a harder thing. It has become to me what the offensive line was last year. Can they overcome that? And we're talking about winning a Super Bowl. We're not talking about making the playoffs. That's what, making the playoffs, they'll be fine. They're going to make the playoffs. They'll be just fine. Winning a Super Bowl, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the question, is if they can get better. And I mean, they're young guys that are, I mean, like Joshua Williams, this is his first year starting at cornerback. And like, he'd ranked, like, not to dig into analytics or anything like that, but he's ranked highly among his peers of playing cornerback this year. And, you know, Noel Williams had a really good start to his year as well. And so those are both of those guys' first time ever getting, you know, starts, like reasonable playing time for this Chiefs defense. So you think that it might get better. You know, they're still, I say all this stuff about the secondary. I just pulled this up. They still have the seventh best passing yards per game, or, you know what I mean, least passing yards per game allowed in the NFL. They're 12th worst in rushing yards allowed, though. And they're basically middle of the pack in points allowed. So I don't know. I don't really know. I think that the thing is what made their defense so good in years past is they didn't really have the superstars outside of, you know, Chris Jones was awesome for all those years. It still is awesome. But I think that the reason that their defense was so good was Spags, like you said. I think it's more of a coverage type of thing. I think that they would get coverage sacks. I think that they'd bring the random blitzes. Like, I don't think it was a matter of guys making plays so much as it was just nobody knew what Spags was going to dial up and call, because that's what he did really well. He'd bring random blitzes and everything of that nature. And so I think that, I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing that you watch the film and you figure something out of what works and what doesn't work. But I don't think that I'm as concerned about that as you are.
Let's talk about the defense. We'll dig into some of the numbers, because the numbers don't necessarily back what I'm saying. Like, statistically, they've been okay. You're correct, 100%. Like, they're above average in sacks. They're above average in points allowed. They're above average in yards allowed. All of those things are true. So is the defense bad? Did the defense just have a bad game? Statistically, they have been about middle of the pack, most categories slightly above average this year. And that's fine. Is it going to get worse than that? Is that deceiving? They did get a game against the Giants in there. They got a half of football without Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I think it's a little deceiving statistically. But even if it's not, man, their schedule and the offenses that they're going to have to play. Like, I don't really care how good their defense is necessarily when they play the Raiders a couple of times. But some of the offenses they're going to have to play, Detroit, Washington, Buffalo, Denver, Indianapolis, Dallas, Denver again. Is the defense going to be good enough to hold up there? And more importantly, is the defense going to be good enough in a playoff game? That's where I have concern. I'm worried that that will be the thing this year that bites them. Now, if they don't make as many mistakes, and if their special teams becomes a weapon again instead of a liability, then I think that allows a little more cushion there. But if those things, because the offense is going to be great. I don't think anybody has any doubt about that now. But if they're going to make mistakes, and if they're not going to be able to count on their kicker, and if they're going to do all of those things, that margin for error gets lessened. And is the defense good enough to make up for that margin? That's where I think they're challenged. And that's what I don't know if that, like, is that going to get better? Or are they going to have to be better everywhere else so the defense is just good enough? That's my big takeaway from yesterday. Is this defense going to be good enough?
I'll ask you this question. Let's play a game. We'll write it down. We'll revisit in January. The end of the season, heading into the playoffs, what do you think that the Chiefs' average points per game allowed will be? Right now, for context, right now it's 21.4.
By the end of this year?
Yes, end of the regular season.
Probably more like 25 or 26.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be more than 25. And I think that that's okay. Like, I don't think that that's anything. I mean, that'll be like basically right median, right in the middle of the league. Like,
it'll be bottom. It'll probably be bottom third of the league. I think and it's a good question. Right now, the Chiefs are scoring 25 points a game. So that's a problem.
By the same token,
they're scoring 25 points a game right now.
I think that'll go up.
To what?
28.
Right now, the top team in the league is Detroit. They're averaging almost 35 points a game. For context, 28. The Colts are up there at 32, the Bills 30, the Cowboys 30. And I agree with you. I think that's going to get better. I think this can get close to being a 30-point a game offense again this year.
That's fine. Like last year,
well, It is. So your margin's good, but is it fine in the playoffs? And this is why I think like regular season, everything's going to be okay. Like they're going to get to the playoffs. What about if they play a game in Buffalo and it's snowing and the wind's blowing 20 miles per hour, which is very possible and maybe even likely.
Yeah.
What happens?
What do you mean what happens?
They can't run the ball. And is that offense, like what is that offense that's going to be awesome going to be able to do in those conditions if the defense isn't very good? Because we know Buffalo can play in those conditions. And maybe the Chiefs can too. Maybe Patrick Mahomes will just carry the ball 18 times.
He's a snow game guy. He said that.
But they have been so good in weather games because their defense has been so good.
It's true. I will say, I do think, like, I'm trying to dig through here. I don't know the last time the Chiefs averaged 25 points allowed.
It's been 23 when Patrick Mahomes had 1,000 yards and had a great season.
23, they were the second best in the league. They only gave up 17 points.
Oh, I thought you were talking about offense. When was the last time they scored?
No. Defense allowed, here you go. 2018, they allowed 26.3 per game. So I think that there's a little bit of like, I mean, last year they were under 20. The year before that, they were under 18. The year before that,
Look, it is an overreaction to a game last night.
I think that we can go back and look at all the success that the Chiefs had before they had a good defense. Like the Tyreek Hill years, the defense kind of stuck. And so it's like, I think that that's fine if that's what it's going to be. Like that might just be it. And that's fine. You can still win games like that. The past couple of years, the last 2 years, the offense wasn't nearly as good as it had been years past, but the defense was the best that it's been in maybe like decades, I'd wager to bet. I don't know the exact statistic, but I think that that's also swaying us a little bit that if this wasn't the best defense in the league last year, then I think that we wouldn't be feeling the way that we're feeling about this.
Well,
I think that's helping that.
Totally agree. And the question is, and this is the one I've been fighting all day, and maybe it's been confusing because I'm confused, is because the defense is not going to be the best in the league. Like it arguably has been the last couple of years. The offense, though, is going to be way better than it has been the last couple of years. Is that enough to outweigh the other? Possibly. But not if they keep getting penalized like this. Not if they keep having special teams mistakes. Like they've got to play sound football. I do think the offense can outweigh the defense. Like the gains in the offense can outweigh or at least wash out the losses on defense. I do. But if you have all these other things continuing to happen in a playoff game, I'm not so sure. We're 5 weeks into this thing. The Chiefs can solve the things that are so, I assume. I don't know if you can solve Butker right now. That's a him thing, right? But you can solve the mistakes. You can solve the penalties. You can solve throwing a key pick six. You can solve not going for it on fourth down. You probably should have gone for it on fourth down. That's all solvable stuff. And if they can solve that, then yeah, maybe the offensive gains outweigh the defensive losses. That's totally within the range of possibilities. For the regular season, again, I think it's fine. So when we get to the postseason, is that a formula that's going to be able to win a Super Bowl? Because it's a different formula than we've seen in this recent run of Super Bowls, right? It goes back to the old school, like the first Super Bowl, probably closer to the elite offense and just good enough defense versus these last two Super Bowls, which have been elite defense and just good enough offense. I think we're going to flip that upside down. I don't know if it's going to be like, it's just not a, like, I'm not saying they can't win a Super Bowl. I would love to go bet that. I already have the Chiefs bet to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, can they? Like, what do we think about that? I think for the regular season, they are just fine. For the postseason, I don't know. I don't know what I think about that yet. I don't feel as confident in it as I did 2 years ago when they faced a little adversity. I had serious concerns last year because of the offensive line. And those, like, you could see that train coming from a mile away last year as you watched them continue to win these games. This offensive line is going to kill them in the postseason. Like, you could see it coming a mile away. I don't think you can see anything coming a mile away this year, other than the offense is going to be really good. That I think we can see. Everything else right now is just real hazy with the Chiefs.
I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I think that it's good enough that it can get it done. But I do think that your Bills argument is a valid argument of. But also, I think in the same breath of that, I think that even if the defense was good, you still wouldn't feel great about going to Buffalo in a snow game.
No, you wouldn't. And like it's weird because we don't really, and we shouldn't do this with other teams, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, we're projecting out a potential playoff game in January, but that's what you have to do with the Chiefs because they, like, the goal is, like, the floor is the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the floor for this team is set for itself. So how do you not think that far ahead with every single thing that we see every single week of the season? It has to be what we think about because that's what we anticipate them be. It's what they've been every year, essentially, since Patrick Mahomes has been a starter.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, they said it. If they, like, I think that they said it in the Chiefs documentary. They're like, if we lose in the Super Bowl, it's a failure of a season. Like,
it is. It is. And that's not like it won't be when we look back at it, wasn't ultimately with the Patriots. But in those moments, it absolutely was.
You're in the Patrick Mahomes window. Like, you have to do it every year that you can because Patrick Mahomes is getting older.
10 more years. I mean,
but whenever the window's closed, who's the next quarterback going to be? You know,
I'm telling you right now.
Arch Manning Jr. going to come in? Arch Manning III, I guess?
Get your Mahomes MVP bets in now.
I think so.
I don't know what they are. I don't know what the odds are. He's going to pile it up statistically this year. Pile it up. And their record will have a lot to do with it. He is going to pile up the passing yardage this year, touchdowns, like all of it. His running ability has become a big weapon. Get your MVP votes in now. And I'm not saying that as like a product of, oh, you just watch it. It's just they're going to be a great offense, and mm-hmm. they're not very good running the ball. So it's almost all going to come through the air and on his legs. And that's going to be a thing. So the other thing, and we have a couple minutes left on this, like what can be solved then? Well, getting Rice comes back, that helps. That doesn't solve running the ball. It doesn't solve defense. It doesn't solve penalties. It doesn't solve special teams. What can be solved from what we saw yesterday? Penalties can be solved. Those mistakes can be solved. Special teams, I'm not sure. You know, the holding on returns and stuff, that can be fixed probably. But if Butker's not Butker, there's not really anything anybody's going to be able to do about that. We'll just have to see on that. It shrinks your margin for error. The defense, I don't think they're getting any players back. Schematically, can Spags do one thing or the other? Maybe. Could they make a trade? Maybe. Could they make a trade for a running back? Maybe. Because I do think running the ball would help the defense. So that'll be what we watch here. They got to beat the Lions. They didn't beat the Lions 2-4. Man, it's a hole I think they'll dig out of, but it's a hole, man. Like,
what do you call it? Is it butt pucker in time for the Chiefs?
It's butt pucker in time, yeah. I'm not downplaying the butt pucker. It is butt pucker in time, for sure.
That's what I've been trying to say this entire time. Like, if they're 2-4, like, they might have to just win every other game if they want a good season.
Well, they might have to start thinking about 10-7 being good enough. But the good news for them is, how good is the AFC West going to be? The Raiders, I was wrong. They're not very good. The Chargers, they're not going to be able to overcome these injuries. Can you chase down the Broncos? You still get to play them twice. But yeah, 2-4 is tough. But honestly, didn't we kind of think they'd be 2-4 anyway? When Worthy went down and they were missing Rice? Not a lot's changed.
We're going to play this game, and it's going to be the, how good is Dylan Edwards? How good is Xavier Worthy? How can Rashee Rice make this team undefeated the rest of the way? We're going to drive ourselves crazy.
This is what it's like in talk radio with the Chiefs the last 3 years. They're not going to just blow through everybody. This schedule sucks. It is awful. Like, if you're, it's going to make it on, but they can't. All right, that'll do it for us on Sports Daily. We spent a couple hours on the Chiefs. We didn't get a lot accomplished. Chiefs fans, that was the kind of game it was, though. That's kind of what I expected. We're all over the place. Pretty soon, we got to turn the page and start to think about the Lions coming up. It'll be the midweek. Like, how do they beat the Lions? What kind of game is that going to be? We'll do all that the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we will have Shreyas Lotta in. Shreyas is going to join us to talk a little KU. So stay tuned for that. TJ, we'll continue to pull our hair out on this on the TV side of things tonight. My goodness.
And we haven't even talked about KU Texas Tech yet this weekend. We got a lot to get to. That game's nuts.
Shreyas will have us covered on that. That is a 13.5 point dog. Man, how do you not take KU on that? But Tech's really good. We'll have it all tomorrow for you. To Max, to DJ, thanks to Wyatt Thompson for stopping by. Thanks to everybody who commented in this morning. Hang in there, Chiefs fans. It'll be all right. We'll come back tomorrow and talk about it. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma
With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.